Cardiff Giant.
It was 1868. America was still recovering from the Civil War. The study of science was in its infancy. People were eager to believe.
Scene 1. The Carving. October 1868. Chicago.
George Hull strode past armless statues and stacks of blank gravestones into the shop of German stonecutters Burkhardt and Sal.
He unfurled his black cloak. The dim light of several lanterns exaggerated his shadow against the wall.
So it's finished?
Jaw, we make change, just as you say.
Hull stroked his long black mustache and gazed upon a colossal carving.
At last, it's perfect, Herr Burkhardt. You'll be rewarded handsomely for your efforts, as long as no one ever finds out.
Yeah, explain me, please. All dust work just so you can bury in ground?
Exactly, Herr Sal.
How again will dust make us rich?
Scene 2, the Vario.
Under cover of night, Hull used a sturdy wagon to deliver his cargo to a farm in Cardiff, New York.
There, with the help of an associate, he unloaded his monstrous creation.
We'll bury it behind the barn where the ground is soft.
Where are the farmer and his wife?
I made sure they'd be away. They'll never know we were here.
The men dug a 12-foot-long pit.
They used the horses to drag the colossus into the hole.
Hull stroked his long mustache.
You'll be rewarded handsomely, as long as no one ever finds out.
Scene 3, the Discovery.
A year passed.
The sun was just rising when Lydia Newell handed her husband his coffee.
What are we gonna do, Stubb?
Stubb took a long slurp. His left eye twitched.
Our best plow horse is dead. Our land is practically fallow. And now you say we need a new well?
The Diggler's be coming up the row any minute.
I wish just once good fortune would smile on you, Stubby.
Here they is now.
What do you want us to dig, Stubb?
Stubb led the men behind the bar.
You sure you want it here? Why, it's practically a marsh already.
Round their high spot. Regulate water about 4 feet down.
The men dug while Stubb and his farmhands delivered rock to line the well.
The diggers paused when the shovel hit something.
Jump in there, Gideon, and pry that rock loose.
But the rock appeared to be someone's foot.
I declare some old Indian is buried here.
Stubb and the others gathered around. One man yelled to a passing carriage.
They found a man's foot down here.
A neighbor, John Haynes, jumped in the hole and carefully shoveled away more dirt.
It's a foot, all right, and here's a leg and a hand.
I think I'm gonna faint.
They cleared away more soil and stared into the hole at the body of a human giant.
I reckon it's 10 feet if it's an inch.
Maybe it's an ancient member of the Onondaga tribe. It's been said that some of them were giants.
Billy Houghton, the owner of the general store, stepped up.
What's the ruckus?
We was digging stuff, a new well, and ran into this fella.
Don't know what to make of it.
I reckon it's Petra and Ma'am. Sure, sure it is. After all, aren't they always finding fossils in these parts?
Well, I suppose there can be a petrified fish. It ain't so far-fetched to believe there could be a petrified man, but a giant.
Stubb stared into the hole.
Who can say what happened to this fella who done it? Maybe we should just shove the dirt back in and forget we ever seen it. I don't want no trouble.
Cover it back up. What about scientific value? Well, it put Cardiff on the map.
You could charge folks to look at it, too. Make a pretty penny, I'd wager.
It looks like it's your lucky day, Stubb.
Scene 4, the Experts.
A crowd formed at dawn.
Among the visitors were four doctors.
Would you care to have us inspect the body?
No charge, of course.
It'd be a pleasure to hear what man old science like.
The crowd hushed. The doctors walked slowly around the pit. They furrowed their brows, rubbed their chins, and whispered among themselves.
What do you suppose they'll say, Stubby?
After much deliberation, they gave their verdict.
Mr. Newell, your giant is indeed a petrified man.
The crowd cheered.
Well, I knew it all along.
Imagine that, right here in Cardiff. And these are men of science talking. More visitors arrived, including the celebrated lecturer, John Boynton.
I'm also here to inspect the find.
Before Stubb could respond, Boynton leaped into the muddy pit.
He cradled the giant's head in his arms.
What's this fella doing, Stubb?
Seems to be sniffing the find.
The crowd murmured as Boynton examined the body.
Did he just do what I think he did?
Must be a scientific thing to look at like that.
This is indeed an archaeological treasure.
The crowd erupted.
Didn't I tell you?
It's an ancient statue, mid-17th century, probably left here by missionaries.
An ancient statue?
Boynton turned to Stubb.
Mr. Newell, I urge you to give it to me. Only a man of science can properly care for such an artifact.
I already turned down $1,000 for the thing. Why would I give it away for free?
As Boynton departed, the crowd dismissed his opinion.
A statue? Why, we had real medical professionals in here just this morning say otherwise.
Don't listen to that failure, Stubb. What you have here is a genuine petrified giant, the Cardiff giant.
Scene 5, the tent.
Within a week, Colonel Joseph Wood from the Randolph Museum of Chicago arrived.
Mr. Newell, my men are putting a tent of a yellow giant. I suggest you charge 50 cents per visitor.
Why, it's more than most of these folk earn a day.
They'll pay it. Mark my words.
Sure enough, the crowd grew up to over 2,000 people.
Step right up. It's a gander at the petrified man of Onondaga County.
Mrs. Newell added to the carnival atmosphere by selling refreshments.
Lemonade! Get your lemonade here! Just 10 cents!
Just 4 bits to gaze upon the eighth wonder of the world!
Inside, the mood was somber. Onlookers removed their hats and spoke in whispers.
Billy Otten served as a master of ceremonies.
He's over 10 feet tall. Imagine this fellow walking the countryside.
Oh my.
But don't be afraid. Why, have you ever seen such a serene smile?
Nothing in the world can make me believe he isn't human.
Didn't that Boynton man say it was a statue?
Whether a statue or a petrified man, it's proof enough that giants once walked these parts.
Right here in Cardiff?
That's right. Right here in little old Cardiff.
Soon, Colonel Wood convinced Stubb to take the giant on tour. By the time it left Albany, over 40,000 people had paid $1 each to see it.
But how much longer would the truth remain buried?
Scene 6, the secret meeting.
George Hull unfurled his cloak and stepped from his carriage.
People are starting to ask questions, George.
We knew they would eventually.
It's played out just like you said, though.
Hull stroked his long mustache.
I take it you've already sold your last share.
Yup, got $25,000 for the thing.
What'll you do with your money?
Well, I expect it won't be too popular around here when the folks know the truth. So I already bought me some land near Syracuse.
I hope it's better than what you had in Cardiff.
Most certainly is, though. I don't expect it's hiding any archaeological treasures.
Probably not. Then again, you never know what people will believe.
Epilogue.
In the weeks that followed, the showman, P.T. Barnum, unveiled an exact duplicate of the Goliath, claiming his was the real Cardiff giant. Barnum's exhibit quickly began drawing bigger crowds.
Real scientists, such as paleontologist O.C. Marsh, declared both giants to be a stupendous hoax.
The original Cardiff giant's later owners soon saw their fortunes and reputations ruined when those Hull never paid came forth with the truth. By then, Hull had disappeared into the night.
Stubb Newell, meanwhile, rose every day wondering if it had been good fortune or something else entirely that had smiled upon him.
And the giant? It was bought and sold dozens of times before finally landing in the Farmer's Museum in Cooperstown, New York,
where it remains on display today as one of America's greatest hoaxes.
Hi, my name is Trey, and I play Dr. Dana.
My name is Colton, and I play Dr. McDonald.
My name is John, and I play Dr. Park.
My name is Selena, and I play Lady 2.
My name is Itza, and I play Lady 3.
My name is Daisy, and I play Lady 4.
My name is Casey, and I play Lady 5.
My name is Shelby, and I play Lady 6.
My name is Katie, and I play John Parker.
My name is Sergio, and I play John Haynes.
My name is Obani, and I play Gideon.
My name is Enrique, and I play Amesbury.
My name is Ken, and I play Nichols.
My name is Jordan, and I played Billy Hupton.
My name is Amber, and I play Smith Woodmansey.
Hello, my name is Samuel, and I play John Boynton.
My name is June. I'm Onlooker.
My name is Dakota, and I'm Burkhart.
My name is Triana, and I'm Lady One.
My name is Lane, and I played Aircel.
My name is Jonah, and I play Onlooker.
Hi, my name is Paige, and I am a stranger.
Hi, my name is Taylor Rose, and I'm an Onlooker.
My name is Bryant, and I play Colonel Wood.
My name is Emily, and I play Lydia Newell.
Hi, my name is Zach, and I play George Hull.
Hi, my name is Dakota, and I play Stub Newell.
My name is Deani, and I play Narrator 2.
My name is Grace, and I play Narrator 1.
My name is Chloe, and I play Narrator 3.